Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America on IMSA Radio. On IMSA Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the beautiful Monterey Peninsula in California, just south of San Francisco. Some of the most picturesque scenery you will see, and one of the most challenging racetracks as well in North America. Just the coastline here, absolutely stunning. And if you're going to visit, you need to visit this place, WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca. Absolutely beautiful. The penultimate weekend for the 2020 Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American Championship. Just one more weekend to go. One more race this weekend. As I said, just south of San Francisco, 2.23 miles around this legendary racetrack. Down the front straightaway into turn two, also known as Andretti Hairpin. A great place to make some passes here. And then to the infield section, three, four, the left-hander turn five. That takes you up the hill to turn six. Very daunting. Up the Ray Hall straight into the corkscrew. And then that dive down. It's about eight floors down, eight stories down to the front straightaway into turn 11. Through the rainy curve, the left-hander, and then turn 11 onto the front straightaway. And you've completed a lap here at this racetrack. Before we get to the final race for the Lamborghini for the weekend, let's take you back to race number one. Good stuff there. From the drop of the green, the action was on. Brandon Godovic in the 46. A great jump in the 46 at the start. Not so great a start for the 74. Tom Kerr jumped it a little bit. He would serve a penalty and have to come down pit road. And then our race leader, the 46, Godovic, in the pits behind the wall. We didn't know what was going on. We're told that it was a fuel issue. Put fuel in, got back out, but not a good day for Ashton Harrison in the 25. Overheating there, and their day done. But look at this action. Corey Lewis, Danny Formal, the 63, the 99. A great battle then, but not to be denied. Sergio Jimenez becomes another winner, the fourth winner overall and in the pro category. And what a great, great run for Jimenez in that number 13. Like I said, the fourth different driving combination. He did it solo, but the fourth combination to win overall and in the pro category. And the field lined up now in pit lane, getting ready for the pace lap here. Brian Till with you along with Jeremy Shaw. Jeremy, welcome in. Another beautiful day here at WeatherTech Raceway.
What a great racetrack this is. A fabulous facility. Picture perfect conditions here this weekend. And we're set for another exciting race. Only three races to go into the championship. Getting down to nitty gritty time, Brian.
Well, and it closed down a little bit in two of the categories yesterday in both the Pro and the Am Championship. That champion, or the Pro and the LP Cup, I should say, championship closed down a little bit. So this thing far from over. 17 Lamborghini Huracan Evos out on track. And if the racing is as good today as it was yesterday, you are in for some excitement. I don't know why it wouldn't be, Jeremy. Take us through the grid.
Yeah, 17 cars, as always, in the Lamborghini Super Trofeo Series, of which this is round 8 of 10. Everybody running the same car, the Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo. Four different categories of drivers. We've got pros, pro-ams, ams, and the LB Cup contenders, a little bit less experience. Starting at the back into car number 74, that's Tom Kerr on row 8 of the grid. Sam, Scott Schmidt making his debut this weekend in car number 38, alongside Jonathan Hirschberg in car number 286. Sidney McKee will start in car number 87 from the 14th position alongside the points leader in the LB Cup, that's Randy Solari. On row 6 is a Pro-Am car of Ashton Harrison alongside Brian Thienis, an Am contender making his return this weekend. Row 5 on the outside is a pole sitter in the LB Cup category and the race winner yesterday, John Hennessy, in car number 33 for the US Racetronics team. Alongside him is the Am Championship leader, that's Victor Gomez IV, in car number 29 for Change Racing. Row 4, Leo Lamellis in car number 24 and Stuart Middleton in car number 1. Row 3, Corey Lewis in car number 63, a brilliant drive yesterday to snatch the victory in the Pro-Am category, that's for Change Racing. Alongside him is Jacob Edson in car number 6 for US Racetronics, finished on the podium yesterday. today. Rotura, the Greater Championship leader, Madison Snow for Change Racing, car number 16, alongside the Pro-Am Pulse, the car number 99 from Costa Rica for Anser Motorsports. An excellent effort is Danny Formal. Onto the front row of the grid, looking to make up for that disappointment yesterday, Brandon Godovic in car number 46 for Precision Performance Motorsports. But on the pole position for the first time, brilliant drive to the victory yesterday for Anser Motorsports. From Brazil, in car number 13 is Sergio Jimenez.
It was great competition yesterday, and Godovic got a great start from the pole position. We'll see what Sergio Jimenez can do today. He starts on pole, and one of the things that was strong about the 13 yesterday was the leap off of that final turn, turn number 11. The officials very strict with the lineup yesterday. We saw a couple of start penalties, and the field much more lined up as they come across the line side by side down into turn one. Godovic staying to the outside. Can he hold it, Jeremy?
Yeah, he's going to try. It's almost three abreast coming out of the corner. That's probably not going to work. Danny Formal then alongside Brandon Godovic as they head into turn three. But it's Godovic because he's going to hold on to that position. I think sneaking in between the two of them might well have been Madison Snow.
I think so. That white number 16 with a different bumper on it today because of some of the pushing and shoving that we saw yesterday. So typically all white, but that black, we'll call it a mustache in front with that new bumper there for Madison Snow. It shows you just how tight the competition is. Saw a lot of rubbing yesterday, Jeremy, side to side and also front bumper to rear bumper on these Lamborghinis.
Yeah, there was lots of exciting action yesterday. I'm expecting some more of the same today, but certainly another good start from the Brazilian there, Sergio Jimenez, in the lead of this race. And Brandon Godovic, he's all over the back. And that was a really embarrassing problem yesterday. The car just, someone had forgot to top it up with fuel before the start of the race. He did it. Nobody did it at the end of the day. But this in this race today, you're looking to make up for that. Running in second place at the moment, but we know Brandon Godovic has a very fast car.
Indeed, he was quick yesterday, but Jimenez out in front right now in the 13. It's where we saw him run all throughout the day yesterday. 50-minute race for Lamborghini Super Trofeo, mandatory pit stop window. It opens 20 minutes after the green flag flies and closes 30 minutes after the green flag. So you've got that 10-minute window there to get the pit stop done. If you're in a dual driver combo, it's an 84 minimum second time on pit lane, 87. If you're a solo driver, we saw that really play out yesterday, but Jimenez, so quick right after the pit stop, made a good pit stop, 87 seconds, didn't waste any time on pit lane. It wasn't 89, 90 seconds, it was 87, got back out there and leapt back to the front. And what was impressive for me, Jeremy, that 13 seemed to get stronger and stronger as the stint went on.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was able to turn some really good consistent lap times, wasn't he? And that's really what you need for the race leader out there. If you can run consistent lap times and fast lap times at that, then you're going to be very difficult to beat. And that's exactly the way it planned out yesterday. But he's got his mirrors full now. Brandon Godovic, yesterday he had his first ever pole position. He's had 61 previous starts in this championship, dating back to his debut back in 2015. But for Brandon Godovic yesterday from Yorktown in Virginia, that was his first ever pole position.
Well, what's going to be important, we talk about championships on the line, and we said in the pro category, it closed down a little bit. Madison Snow came in to the weekend with an 11-point lead over Jacob Edson and Steven Agacani in the number six. That's now close to 9 points. Madison Snow just not really having the run that he needed to have yesterday to continue to pull points on the driver pairing of Edson and Agacani. But right now, Jake Edson back in the fifth place position, fourth in the pro category, and Madison Snow up in third. This is what he needs to get to for Snow to get some of those points back that he lost yesterday.
Yeah, that's certainly the plan there for him. But we've got four cars pretty much nose to tail heading up the hill towards turn six here. This is a really tricky corner. It's blind on the entrance. You cannot see the apex of that corner as you turn in to turn six from the extreme right-hand side of the racetrack. You've got two wheels out on the curb, almost on the dirt going into that corner, and a corkscrew. Well, you can't see anything at all as you plunge down the hill there. This is just a tremendously challenging racetrack.
Through rainy curve, the car really compresses down there around the apex of turn 9, the left-hander, and the same with turn 10. It's a very, very fast corner, and everything has to be just right when the car compresses there at the apex. Any adjustments, especially any breathe off the throttle, transfers a lot of weight to those front tires. They grip up really well, and the car can get out from underneath you, especially as you come off of the apex of turn 10, because the road kind of falls off camber at the apex. You have to hit it just right down into the Andretti hairpin. Turn 2, though, interesting. We saw multiple lines through there yesterday, Jeremy.
Yeah, we did. It's a really tricky corner. It's a long, it's a kind of double apex corner would be one way to take it. Otherwise, you can take one sort of steady arc around there. It's a tricky corner because it's downhill. There's not a lot of grip here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. It's a fairly old racing surface here, relatively speaking. It gets also an awful lot of sun during the summertime as well. Plus, there's this sand that's visible on the edge of the racetrack, and if there's any sort of breeze at all, that gets blown onto the racetrack, and that just makes things even more tricky for the drivers. Fortunately, there's not much wind today, but it's a low grip track, and you've really got to have your wits about you and keep that car pointing in the right direction.
And Inez leads the field up to the corkscrew and now down the hill, diving through rainy curve, and it's an interesting racetrack for me, Jeremy, because it has different levels of grip throughout the racetrack. I always felt like 9 and 10 certainly have the compression that helps give you grip around the apex. But then interesting as far as how they go off camber through turn 11 onto the front straightaway. Typically, the car will put the power down pretty well. But when you get down to the exit of turn 2 and then turns 3, turns 4, that area in there, turn 3 and turn 4, always seems to be incredibly low grip. Getting the car into 3 is always difficult in any car I've ever driven here. And so these drivers right now contending with this V10 power plant in the back of the Lamborghini Huracan Evo, trying to get the power down. They've got driver aids, there's traction control, there's anti-lock brakes. That's all well and good, but still a lot of horsepower in the back, and physics is physics. Driver aids don't overcome that.
Well, they don't, do they? You're right about turn 3 is a really sort of strange corner. Turn 4 I love. I mean, that's just about flat out in most cars. It's certainly a lift in these, but it's a very quick corner, total commitment through there. When you drive around the track, turn 3 looks pretty similar, but it's not. It's got a completely different characteristic about it, and it's very, very difficult to get right on a consistent basis, I always find.
Tires up to temperature and pressure. Sergio Jimenez, fastest lap so far was his last lap, so they're just starting to get quicker and quicker. And as I look down the timing sheets, it's pretty much what I'm seeing with most of the top runners right now. And Brandon Gadovic, after the problem that he had yesterday, that quick pit stop, lost a lap, really took him out of contention for the victory, obviously, because it put him down a lap. But nothing doing today. He is right there on the wing of the 13 in front of him. So it goes the 13, the 46, then the 16 of Madison Snow. That's the top three and the top three in pro. Danny Vermeil in that bright green number 99, running fourth overall, and just behind him, the red and black number 6, Jacob Edson. And Edson needs to get past Vermeil if he wants to do battle with Madison Snow. But that's the challenge with Lamborghini Super Trofeo action. Four different classes out there, and you get really fast drivers in these other classes, and they can place themselves between you and your competition, the ones that you're trying to get past to get those all-important points. Season winding down.
And we've got an 8-car train here at the front of this field. Last time around, Brandon Gadovic just set the fastest lap of the race in that second-place car, 126.642. But I tell you what, there's nothing to choose between any of these top eight. They're all turning very similar lap times. Sergio Jimenez, his last two laps, they were within a hundredth of a second of each other. That's really good going in the early stages of this race, but still a long, long way to go. There will be a mandatory pit stop at some stage, kind of halfway through the race. It's a 50-minute race. The window which you have to make your mandatory pit stop is between 20 minutes and 30 minutes into this 50-minute race.
Sergio Jimenez picking up where he left off yesterday, took the victory in round number 1 at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. He's seeing if he can bookend the weekend with another victory today. Out of the Andretti hairpin, the leader comes Brandon Gadovic, not letting Jimenez get away, and Madison Snow staying right there as well. Just one more weekend once these drivers leave here from WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca and the championships. So important. One of the things I find interesting as well, Jeremy, we're talking about the pit stops. You look at the two cars up front right now, the 13 and the 46. Solo drives in those two cars. That means it's 87 seconds on pit lane for those two drivers, 84 for the numbers, or I'm sorry, Madison Snow by himself as well. So it'll be interesting after the pit stops. All three of them will have the same length pit stop. It's in the Pro-Am category where we see some multiple driver lineups, but that's going to be interesting because you've got one group with a longer pit stop, another one with a shorter, and you see if you can't leapfrog there in pit lane.
Yeah, strategy is certainly important. You know, it's a sprint race. I mean, they're flat out here for 50 minutes, but you know, when you're as closely matched as this, when you make your pit stops can be critical. If you feel that you're being held up by the car in front of you now in these early stages, maybe it's worth coming in and making a pit stop sooner rather than later. If you make your pit stop done, get out on a clear track and hopefully turn some lap time, some quick lap times before the guys in front of you come in to make their scheduled stop, or vice versa. So yeah, there's a lot of different strategies to be played out during this race, and we'll watch to see when they make their pit stops. It won't be yet though for a few minutes.
The top three overall and the top three in pro, all solo drives, but fourth in that category, Jake Edson, Stephen Agakani, and that's where we could perhaps see some ground made up on the pit stop. And you brought up an interesting point, Jeremy. If you feel like you're getting held up, and I look at the number six running there in the fifth position, and I wonder if perhaps we'll see Jake Edson stop as soon as the window opens, allowing Agakani to get in. They'll have a 3 second shorter pit stop, and perhaps since he's right on the rear wing of the 99 right now, perhaps that could gain him some track position when he comes back out, that shorter pit stop.
Yeah, exactly right. That's certainly one thing that'll be on the mind there of that US Racetronics team. They run the number six car for Jacob Edson and Stephen Agakani, who is the youngest driver in the field, just 17 years of age. Jacob's only 25, although it seems he's been around this sport for a long, long time. He's a former champion in these cars. He won the Pro-Am category last season, and he's a former winner of the Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge Series as well. He's had some success in open wheel before that too. So Jacob Edson is very, very talented young driver. The guy just ahead of him, Danny Formal, he's a very different story. He's only had a few weekends of car racing, at least at this level. He is primarily a go-kart driver, an extremely good one. He's paid by teams to run their equipment in go-karts. He's 24 years of age now, lives in Boca Raton, Florida, but originally from Costa Rica. He's been given this opportunity by Alan Nadal and Patrick Otto-Madsen from Ansa Motorsports, and he has grabbed it with both hands in that kind of a 99, doing a really, really good job. He got beaten yesterday to the Pro-Am category just from a very forceful drive from Corey Lewis in the closing stages, but right now he's got the upper hand over Corey Lewis. It's Danny Formal in fourth position, Jacob Edson in fifth, and then Corey Lewis in sixth.
I think that battle we saw between Corey Lewis and Danny Formal yesterday, one of the most intense fights we've seen all season long, a little bumping, a little banging, a little side to side, and those two guys really going at it. Shows you the caliber of driver that we have here in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America action.
And I tell you, I'm not sure I've ever seen Corey Lewis drive as forcefully as that. I mean, he wanted that win. I mean, that was the end of the story. He was going to get that win, and whatever it took, it was a tremendous race between those two. And I think Danny Formal, he was sort of kind of laughing about it afterwards, in a way. But he wanted to get his own back today, and that's what he's doing at the moment. He's running in the fourth position, first in Pro-Am.
Well, an important day for Corey Lewis and McKay Snow. That great drive by Corey Lewis extended their points, gave them an additional 5-point lead over Leah Lamellis in the Pro-Am Driver Championship. You see the 33, John Hennessy, great drive yesterday from him as well, Jeremy, especially coming back from a problem that he had early on.
Yeah, you know, he had a spin early in the race yesterday, but he's brand new to racing, is John Hennessy. Really interesting story. He started out his sort of working life as a commercial fisherman, up in Alaska. He then moved into the demolition business, built a very successful company there, which is now retired from, as we see the cars putting a lap on Tom Kerr. But John Hennessy, he kind of got himself a track day car last year or a couple of years ago after retiring from his business, after selling the business, and then thought, hey, this is fun. Had a go here at US Racetronics in one of their Lamborghinis, and he was super impressive right away. So this year, his first ever season of racing, and there he is running at the front in the LB Cup category and 10th position overall.
Well, and he moved into second in the championship yesterday. Matt Dickon not here this weekend, so he moved up a position. He's only one of three drivers to have won in the LB Cup category this year. Randy Solari, who leads the championship. Hennessy has two wins on the season, and Matt Dickon has a victory as well. So good run by John Hennessy, and I think that's what's important. These classes allow you to get out there and race these cars. They're all identical. They've same horsepower, same driver aids, same performance. And as you improve and move up, you can move up from LB Cup to AM to Pro AM to Pro eventually, if that's the route that you want to take. And saw the leaders coming past Tom Kerr, and hats off to Tom Kerr. He did a great job of trying to stay out of the way and not impede anybody. Unfortunately, they caught him at one of the most difficult sections of the racetrack, that turn six, the run up the Ray Hall straight into the corkscrew. The leaders able to get by as they headed up the hill into turn five. And I think Jake Edson, Corey Lewis, Stuart Middleton, that group caught him right up around the corkscrew and coming out of it. And that's difficult for everybody, both those making the passes and for Tom Kerr, who was just trying to stay out of the way. He was very aware. So hats off to him.
Yeah, this is distilling now, isn't it, into a three-car race at the front of the field. Sergio Jimenez dragging Brandon Gudovic and Madison Snow there. They're pulling away a little bit from Danny Formal, who's still got his mirrors filled by Jacob Edson, Corey Lewis, and Stuart Middleton hanging in there as well. Just looking at the lap times here for the leaders. 1 minute 27.5 last time around for our race leader, Sergio Jimenez. The previous lap was 1:27.6. Prior to that, he'd been doing low 27s and then high 26s before that. So the tires are definitely being used up here. This is a high degradation racetrack. The tires do tend to go off, lose a little grip as the race goes along. And it's really a question often of who can look after their tires the best throughout the duration of this race. They're the guys that are probably going to come out on top at the end of the contest.
We talked about Tom Kerr being very aware, and right now Sergio Jimenez very aware that he's got Brandon Gudovic all over his rear wing. He dropped a wheel at the exit of turn five. They'll have to deal with some slower traffic on the run up the Ray Hall straight into the corkscrew. What does Gudovic have? And Jimenez a little bit defensive on the way in. Kind of had to be, Jeremy, or he would have left the door open. I think Brandon Gudovic was thinking about it.
Yeah, I think so. And Brandon's, he's got it. He's got a good car. He knows he's got a good car. He's won races before. As I said, yesterday was his first pole position, but he's got five wins in this championship over the years, and he wants to make it six here this afternoon, particularly after that bitter disappointment yesterday.
And Madison Snow, we talked about yesterday about how that Change Racing Lamborghini Charlotte entry just didn't seem to have the legs on long runs. And later in the going, he was dropping back and was really at risk of losing another position, but managed to hold on. And it's one of those things where I think the team worked very hard overnight at Change Racing to find Madison Snow a better race car, because right now he's able to stay right there with Gudovic.
Well, yeah, three different teams here. Ansa Motorsports out in front, Precision Performance Motorsports in second place, Change Racing in third. And with this Dyson going up the front here, I think Sergio Jimenez, his car is sliding around a little bit more than perhaps he would like. Danny Formal, he's beginning to close that gap again in fourth position. And he's pulled away just a little bit. He's got a little bit more breathing space now over Jacob Edson than he had has had for most of this race so far. 12 laps completed. That Jacob Edson car number six for US Racetronics, he struggled yesterday, particularly in qualifying. The car was just oversteering too much, so they just kind of missed the setup on that car. It came better in the race, and I'm sure they're hoping that it will get better again as this race progresses.
In a car that's oversteering is not one that you want to spend a lot of time in around this racetrack. The high-speed sections, especially turns 9 and 10, we talked about with the compression there at the apex. If you get in there and you need to adjust and you have to worry about the back end of the car coming out when you get to those compressions, that is definitely going to weigh heavily on your mind. It's going to limit the speed that you can roll through those apexes. So get that sorted out, and you've got a much more comfortable driver. And a comfortable driver here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca is usually a fast driver. Jimenez certainly was comfortable yesterday, but has had no breathing room at all. Brandon Godovic has stayed right there with him. Madison Snow now slipping back a car length or two. And you said it, the bright green 99 of Danny Formal really beginning to close on Madison Snow. And I think it's Snow more falling back into the clutches of Formal than Formal necessarily moving forward.
Yeah, but you know, this whole pack, they're still pretty close together. You know, well, 13.
Yeah, nobody's let anybody get away.
Almost,
that's for
no,
sure.
There's not. I mean, 20 minutes into the race, it's still a really, really good race going on here. The pit window is going to be open by the time they get back down the hill to the pit entrance. So you can now make your mandatory pit stop from any point from now. That's 30 minutes remaining in this race.
10-minute window to get the stop done. Will there be any takers this time around? Are you in a track position situation where, and the leader, Jimenez, in early, and who's following there? Is that the number six back behind, I think, perhaps? Would not be strange to see Edson come in and hand over to Agakani. And the time that we talk about, the minimum pit stop time, is from the pit speed limit line at pit in to the pit speed limit line at pit out. So it's not how long you have to sit still in the pit box. Teams adjusting some air pressures, trying to make sure that they bleed them down just a little bit. The tires aren't overpressured. You want to get as much grip as you possibly can, get them to be as compliant as you possibly can. But you said it, this racetrack, without a lot of grip on it, Jeremy, the car slides around a fair amount, and you can get some significant tire degradation here. That these drivers need to make sure they're taking care of these Pirelli tires.
Leader, they've been dropping away a little bit. They were down in the low 28s. The last couple of laps before he made the pit stop. There's a quick glance of John Hennessy. He's also in the pit lane. We've got half a dozen cars on the pit lane at the moment. There is the Pro-Am car. That's Ashton Harrison. Whoops, there's Brian Thenis is off the road. That's at turn four.
And that
somebody else involved.
A...
There's another car as well. Is there another car there as well? No, maybe not.
No, that could be a problem. Twofold. One, the gravel is deep there and you can see it piled up in front of the left rear. Two, we saw the 25 with an overheating issue and that looks very similar. I see the steam coming out of the engine compartment there, that V10 perhaps overheated, and that could be a problem. We could go full course caution. In fact, we have.
Smart thinking there by both the Precision Performance Motorsports team and Change Racing, because number 46 and 16 both ducked into the pits before the pits were closed. At least I think it was before the pits were closed. They will therefore be able to make their service. The teams that did not come onto the pit lane, they're going to have to stay out. That includes Danny Formal and Corey Lewis. So the two Pro-Am contenders both have yet to make a pit stop. Also, Stuart Middleton stayed out. The AM class leader, Victor Gomez IV, also stayed out on the racetrack.
Just kind of get the tail end of it there, the car sliding around. And what I don't know, I see that telltale steam out of the engine compartment, and it makes me wonder if the car had overheated on the way around on that lap and perhaps fluid spilling out, and that's what caused the spin there. Pit lane now open and the remaining cars look like they'll dive in. Understand,
okay,
the 25
so the
pit,
okay,
stop. Yeah, understand the 25 stop just a little bit short, 38 just a little bit short as well. And safety
okay,
crew.
If they're short by less than a second, that's no big deal. I think
right.
If you're more than a second shorter than the minimum time, then it's a pretty draconian penalty. So you want to make sure you don't do that. They all have timers on board these cars. They've timed how long it gets to get from their pit box to the pit exit. as we see again that replay of that big spin for Brian Thenis,
but
making his return
the
to the
in,
series this weekend. Yeah, that's curious.
On the way in, I could see the steam in that shot. It was a little longer shot than the one we had before. That car was hot as he got to that corner, and I go back to what I said a moment ago, Jeremy, and I wonder if the car had overheated and was spilling fluid, and that's what caused the spin.
Yeah, it could be.
And it's interesting. It's not 200 yards from where we saw Ashton Harrison with the same problem yesterday. That telltale steam, and she was able to pull the 25 off there at the exit of turn three. Safety car out to pick up the overall leader. And that will cycle through as these pit stops are being made. It picks up Danny Formal being shown as the overall leader, then Corey Lewis in the 63. They're behind, and as these pit stops play out, the order will get somewhat mixed up, and then we'll go back to racing, and once the pit window's closed, we'll have a little better idea. I have to wait for that. Jeremy Shaw, you probably are still doing your lap chart by hand and have a better idea on where the pit stops are going to play out than I do.
Yeah, no, the pits were closed. They weren't allowed to come in on that last lap. So the cars that hadn't made their stop earlier, there's five of them that remain out on the racetrack. Danny Formal, Corey Lewis, Stuart Middleton, Victor Gomez, and Sydney McKee. They are all yet to make their pit stops.
And I think because
those other cars came in during that full course caution period, they were able to get their stop done and stay on the lead lap. So they're going to have a huge advantage when we get back to green flag racing. And the order of those cars is number 46 car ahead of the number 16, ahead of the number 6 and the number 13. So they pretty much, apart from the number 13 car, which lost four positions, the other three all gained on the number 13. So number 13, the big loser there.
So, by my count, just over 3.5 minutes left in the pit window. And the crew's going to work. They've gotten the 17 out of the gravel trap. And it shouldn't be long before they can have that car tucked away. I believe the next opening for them is down at turn 5. So, perhaps they can get it down to turn 5 and get it tucked out of the way. And we can get back to racing here. It's really somewhat of a mirror of what we saw yesterday, Jeremy. We had the full course caution after the pit stops yesterday and about an 8-lap sprint to the checkered flag.
Right in the middle of the pit stop sequence. So there's a whole bunch of guys here, the top five cars yet to make their pit stop, and that's going to be very, very costly in terms of the overall race positions, because everybody else, they've made their stop. When we go back to green, they're going to go hurtly off into the lead. And the other guys are not. So it's going to be very difficult for these top five to make anything in the overall position. But what's interesting about that, of course, is the two leaders are both Pro-Am cars. They are both inconvenient, the same as everybody else. But it is going to hand the advantage in a Pro-Am category to Leo Lamelas, who has already made his pit stop.
I sit here, I'm looking at timing and scoring, and it's showing me everyone's made their pit stop.
But it's not right. I don't think it is, anyhow.
I didn't think it was either, but... So interesting, we'll have to see how that will pan out. If you're short on your stop less than a second, I believe there's a multiplier that they take the offending number and multiply it by a certain number, and then they'll take that and add it to your race time. So there'll be a time penalty at the end of the race. You were talking about draconian pit stop or penalties. If you're more than that, it's a stop and hold for the amount of time that you were under. So it's the drive down pit lane plus the penalty that you were short. So if you were 5 seconds short on your pit stop, you're going to drive down pit lane, you're going to sit for 5 seconds. So that's a painful penalty, to say the least.
Yeah, it is. You know, that's a crushing blow to the morale if you have to serve that sort of a penalty. But you know, this is going to be an interesting race. There's 21 minutes remaining. If we don't get back to green before the pit window closes, that's fine. There's kind of a loophole in the regulations. The pit window will be extended by a short amount in order so that everybody can make their pit stops and not be, you know, well, they're already inconvenienced by having not made their pit stops early on, but that was their fault. The fact that they will extend the window just means that it brings all of those drivers that are yet to pit into the same category, so to speak.
Safety car still out, leads the field. Danny Formal being shown the overall leader and also the leader in the Pro-Am category. And when we get back to green, I'm thinking, Jeremy, we're going to have 18, 19 minutes to get this done, maybe even only 17 minutes. And it is going to be a sprint to the finish with a 17-minute run to the finish, maybe 10, 12 laps.
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight out there. And it's going to be Brandon Godot because it has the best seat in the house. Because I think as soon as we go back to green, we're going to see all the other five cars come into the pits. That's Danny Formal, Corey Lewis, Stuart Middleton, Victor Gomez, and Sidney McKee. So Brandon Godovic will then lead the field from Madison Snow, Stephen Agacani, and Sergio Jimenez. So those four cars, they'll be the ones that are battling for the win. The other cars are still on the lead lap. There's only two other cars that are still on the lead lap. That's John Hirschberg in kind of a 286, who's driving with Mel Johnson, and also Leo Lamelas, who is the Pro-Am lead. He's the third place car in Pro-Am, but he is still on the lead lap. He was able to get his stop done and back out onto the racetrack before being lapped by the race leader, Danny Formal. So he is certainly going to be in the best position, Leo Lamelas, another Brazilian driver, in car number 24 for the US Racetronics team when we go back to the green, and the number 99 and 63 both make their mandatory stops.
So think about championship implications here. You know that the top five cars on the racetrack are going to need to pit. As you said, Jeremy Godovic would then be in the lead. Madison Snow right behind him. Stephen Agacani. That's the fight for the championship there between the 16 and the 6. Godovic still has a shot at it, but he's a little bit further away. He's going to want to get maximum points. Madison Snow wants to separate himself between Agacani, but the fastest pro car all weekend long has been the 13, who's going to be right on the rear wing of Stephen Agacani just in front of him. So the fight for the overall win and the pro win and ultimately the championship is going to be intense when the green comes back out.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, it really is going to be a battle out there. I think are the lights now out on the Huracan safety car? Was that a trick of my eyes?
Field through turn five up the hill. It appears that the safety car has the lights out as they head into turn six. That's good news. That means racing will resume once they get back to the front straight. And you better be holding on tight because this is going to be a good one. We saw a fight yesterday in Pro-Am between Danny Formal and Corey Lewis, and it was just one of the best battles we've seen on track all year long. And I expect to see very much the same between not only those two drivers at the front of the field, but after pit stops are done. We were just talking about Godovic, Snow, Agacani. That group in pro is going to be at it as well. Here we go. Safety car pulls away from the field. Field lined up down through turn 10, getting ready through 11. You want to be able to get the power down, that V10 power coming out of turn 11 so you can get the run down into the Andretti hairpin. Godovic second in line in the throttle early, trying to stay up with Formal. Formal with a good run. Green flag flies. We're racing again at Winsick Raceway.
Yeah, and next time around, I would imagine we will see Danny Formal, Corey Lewis, Stuart Middleton, Victor Gomez, and Sidney McKee onto the pit lane. Sidney doing a good job there of staying out of the way. She's an LB Cup contender. Of course, she leads the class right now for Prestige Performance with all of the other contenders in LB Cup, except for Tom Kerr, having already made their mandatory stops.
John Hennessy in the blue and gold 33 working his way past the 25. Andrea Amici, I believe, behind the wheel of the 25 being shown there. And Amici, I was going to say, typically would have an answer for John Hennessy. He does, gets back past Godovic in that black, gray, and silver 46, streaking up the hill, trying to work his way up through traffic, wants to have clear sailing when the car is in front, make that pit stop. I would expect to see them in pit lane soon, Jeremy.
Yeah, probably this time. For Andrea Amici, both he and John Hennessy, they're a lap down to the overall leaders. So Leo Lamelas is the only Pro-Am contender on the lead lap that has already made his pit stop. So the other guys coming in right now, they're probably going to lose more than a lap. Well, they are going to lose more than a lap, I believe, by making their stop. So Andrea Amici, as we see the top four coming into the pits right now, he's going to hand the battle for the lead here somebody making a move on John Hennessy, but you know, there's some good battling going on here further down the field.
Well, the order as they run is Godovic, Agacani, and Jimenez, and they've got lap cars mixed in. John Hennessy, some of the other LB Cup contenders, and Jimenez has been very aggressive in traffic, getting past Hennessy through turn three, trying to stay up with Agacani and Godovic just in front. And a problem down in turn three at the exit of three. John Hennessy, we were just talking about him, off into the gravel. Is he stuck? And I believe he's had contact. The rear bumper seems to be askew, right rear damage. In fact, the right rear suspension looks to be askew, Jeremy.
Yeah, maybe that's probably going to bring out another fourth course caution. Yeah, there goes the caution period out now. So that's unfortunate for him. And what happens? Was he assisted here? That's Randy Solari on the inside in car number. No, it's not. It's Madison Snow. Who'd slipped back for some reason on that restart. He should have been in the second position right behind the number 46, but he slipped back behind both a 6 and a 13. That's a bit weird, wasn't it? Side by side contact between Snow there and John Hennessy as he headed down towards turn four. That's a bit bizarre.
Significant contact, and it was hard on that replay at speed to tell just who moved. Did Madison Snow believe that he had cleared him and start to come back to the left, or does Hennessy slide right just a little bit and make contact? It looked to be left rear to right front, left rear of Snow to right front of Hennessy, and that's what upset the 33 and gets him into the wall. Snow, tough to tell. We were able to see a replay, but really kind of tough to tell. It doesn't matter. Day done. The yellow's out again, and this is going to shorten up that sprint to the checkered flag even more. And the question is, I'm sure the officials are going to look at it. Are we going to see any kind of a potential penalty for Madison Snow? Because that would have huge championship implications.
Well, it really would, yes. I'm sure the officials looking at it, just kind of inconclusive, wasn't it, from the view I thought that we saw there. But very unfortunate incident for those two to get together.
Well, and interesting that, as you said, Jeremy, Madison Snow had dropped back on that restart a little bit, expected him to be further up in the order, so he was back there. And as they lined up behind the safety car, we talked about it. It's one of those things, you're working your way through traffic. And that's exactly what Madison Snow was doing. He gets to the inside of John Hennessy, and they're side by side as they run up to four. And the two cars just barely touch, left rear of Madison Snow to right front of John Hennessy, but it's enough to get Hennessy out of shape and into the fence.
Yeah, I mean, you come out of that corner, you're on on that curb on the left-hand side, that white curb, and certainly Hennessy drifts across a little bit to the right there, whereas when he's heading into turn four, you want to be right on that red and white curbing on the left-hand side of the racetrack when you turn into that corner. It's a flat curb. It doesn't upset the car at all. You want to be right on there because it kind of opens up the corner so you can take a slightly shallower arc and therefore more speed through that corner. So certainly Madison Snow would not have expected John Hennessy to drift away to the right, away from that curb on the left-hand side of the racetrack. So I think you've got to put that down just to kind of a racing incident, and a very unfortunate one, because John Hennessy, having won the class yesterday, was doing a really, really good job and hanging in there in a very, very good position.
And it mixes things up, but what it does for the cars on pit lane, it slowed the cars on the racetrack down a little bit, and perhaps have to look through timing and scoring and see if that was a benefit to the cars who had came to pit lane or not. But I think you're right, Jeremy. It looked like the 33 just drifted a little bit to the right, that slight contact, and day done. But we are going to have a very short sprint to the checkered flag. Madison Snow now fourth in the order, and we keep talking about championships, I know, but Stephen Agacani now shown second, and Madison Snow back and forth. That's, I believe, 4 or 5 points difference in the swing that Madison Snow would lose to the six.
Yeah, true. You get 15 points for a win, 12 for second, 10 for third, then 8 and 6 for fourth and fifth positions. Plus, there's 1 point for the pole position. That was already taken, of course, by Sergio Jimenez, who's running in the third position at the moment. For Stephen Agacani, he and Jacob Edson, they trail Madison Snow by just 9 points. Yesterday, Agacani and Edson finished one position ahead of Madison Snow. Right now, they are 2 positions ahead of Madison Snow. So that potentially would be another 4-point swing. That would bring them within 5 points with just the finale at Sebring in a couple of weeks' time to go. That's going to be very, very tight. But this is going to be a super battle, I think, in the closing stages of this race. We've got less than 10 minutes to go, but I think we should be able to get back to green. And you know, this full course caution, it really helped a whole bunch of people, particularly McKay Snow, who's now in car number 63, younger brother of Madison, by the way, just 2 positions those two apart. And right behind Leo Lamelas is McKay Snow, Stephen McAleer, Danny Fulmar, Victor Gomez. All of those guys were able to make their pit stops and not fall a lap down. So huge good fortune for those cars.
Well, it's interesting. You and I spoke yesterday about somewhat of a drought that Edson and Agacani had starting in round 4 at VIR. And it lasted for 3 races, but they seemed to find the handle again on that number 6. They had a good run yesterday to a second place finish. And now a good run today. And if they can make up 6 points out of the 11 that they were down once they leave this weekend, that would be huge. As you said, only 5-point margin would separate them from Madison Snow as they head into the final weekend at Sebring. And at Sebring, as rough as that racetrack is, as challenging as it is, anything can happen.
that is a fact. Yes. No doubt about it.
Well, and I wonder too, when you look back through the types of racetracks and you try to look for a consistency and go, okay, who performs better on what kind of tracks? I really don't see it, Jeremy. I mean, it looks like everybody has had a lot of strengths along the way and then just a hiccup here or there. And it was that hiccup starting at VIR and then both rounds at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta for Agacani and Edson that set them back. When you look at Madison Snow, he's never finished off the podium. He's got 3 wins and a second and 2 and 3 third-place finishes. So he's been very consistent up front, and he can't afford a finish off the podium. It's going to allow Edson and Agacani to continue to close. And isn't that what allowed him to pull away from Edson and Agacani in the first place? And that was when the driver combination there in the six had their problems.
Yeah, they had a pretty bad weekend the last time out at Mission Raceway Road Atlanta. Had a couple of issues there during that weekend, and that's what put them behind in the championship. It's 3-2 at the moment in favour of Madison Snow over Stephen Agacani and Jacob Edson. But the Agacani-Edson combination, they got 4 poles to the 2 of Madison Snow. So yeah, I think Agacani and Edson are still, they still very much believe that even though they're behind in the points, they're very much in the thick of this championship chase, and that's what they are hoping to pull off in these final few races of the year.
Oh, they're very much in the thick of it, but here's the problem for young Stephen Agacani. He's got Brandon Gadovic in front of him. He's got Sergio Jimenez behind him. And you know, we saw the 13 so strong yesterday. You know he's going to pounce. And then that would put Agacani right back in front of Madison Snow. And that would only be a 2-point margin if it were to finish that way. I'm throwing out all kinds of scenarios. We have no idea what's going to happen. What I do know, it's going to be a short sprint to the checkered flag because we're inside 6 minutes to go already.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? And lights are still on that Huracan safety car, that car of John Hennessy. Quite a bit of damage on the car. They still haven't managed to get that car even onto the flatbed, let alone out of the way. So this is, I'm not sure whether we're going to be able to get this cleared up at all. That would be sad, because I think we're in for a fine contest in the closing stages. But that car is proving somewhat recalcitrant in terms of trying to get it onto the flatbed.
Well, they're not going to hurt it. That's for sure. It already has damage to the side. So hopefully they can get it up there and get it secured enough to get it out of the way and we can go back to racing here, because that's what the drivers want to do. You certainly know Agacani wants to see if he can gain maximum points by taking the victory. Jimenez wants to see if he can repeat from yesterday. Brandon Gadovic doesn't want to even think about yesterday with the problems that he had. He probably is fine to drive around behind the safety car for the remaining 4 minutes and 40 seconds. But it would be a shame, certainly, to end it that way. Right now, Gadovic on the point in the 46 would take home the maximum points at 15. Then Agacani Jimenez would have another good finish. And, you know, we talked about the different drivers up front, and you mentioned the 13 and Ansa Motorsports, and I can't say how impressed I am with that team, because they stepped into the deep end. This is like any single make series. There are lessons that you must learn about these cars, and there are little tricks to them to get them to be maximized. And Ansa has come on board and joined the series, and they have gotten up speed literally and figuratively very quickly.
Yeah, particularly having missed the first race of the season and done pretty much no testing before making the team's debut at VIR a month or two ago. It's pretty remarkable how quickly they've got up to speed with these cars, just learning what makes them tick. The drivers getting the most out of them as well. So hats off to them. But you know, just a little bit unfortunate in this race. You remember when the pit window was open, the first cars to come onto pit lane were the number 13 and the number 6. They were running at that time in first and fifth respectively. The number 46 and the number 16, they came in a lap later. And they were able to get ahead. All of those cars were able to get ahead of number 13 car. So the ANSA team, even though they've done a super job with this car, I think perhaps a slightly slower pit stop, well, obviously a slightly slower pit stop than the number 6. And then I think the fact that number 46 and 16 were able to go a lap longer, they were able to leapfrog kind of between them as well. So you know, it's all one of the lessons you've got to learn in this series: when you make your pit stops, how you make everything work. Plus, you know, there's always a little bit of fortune involved, either good or bad. And I think certainly for some of these teams today, it's been misfortune, the timing of this full course cautions.
The lights are off on the safety car. 2 minutes 25 seconds to go. 2 laps, I would think, Jeremy, to settle this race. Round 8, is it going to come down to 2 laps?
Yeah, possibly less. They'd be lucky. I'm not even sure whether they're going to get 2 in. They might just about get 2 in. I certainly hope so. It's going to be fairly tight. They're going to have to hustle, I think, a little bit. And, of course, the race leader, Brandon Gadovic, he won't want to hustle. If it's just 1 lap to the finish, that'll be fine by him. The time is ticking now, 1 minute 53 to go. They do about 1 minute 30 seconds, so about 20 seconds from now, it'll be one lap to go if they don't get to the finish line within 20 seconds.
I think he's going to get there. 140, 139, 38, 37, green flag waves, and he crosses the line with 135 to go. Should be white flag next time by. And what a run from Godovic off that final corner. Pulled big time on Agakani there in second place as he got down to the Andretti hairpin, but then that accordion effect in the braking zone closes it back up. What can Agakani do, if anything, and what does Jimenez have up his sleeve?
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting couple of laps there. Certainly, you know, Jimenez having led very convincingly all the way through the opening stages before making his pit stops. He wants to get back up into the second place, if not the first. But that was a really good restart by Brandon Godovic. He's put a little bit of a daylight in between himself and Stephen Agakani. And that's exactly what he needs with the time ticking away in this race.
These Pirelli tires have cooled down. It's going to take a half a lap or so to get them back up to the temperature you want. Godovic wasting no time. His experience being shown right now as he's beginning to inch away from the six of Agakani just behind him. But the fight may be for the final step on the podium. Madison Snow in the 16 trying to close down on Jimenez just in front.
Really good restart lap for Godovic. Excuse me, Brian. He's able to put probably better part of a second between himself and his pursuer, Stephen Agakani. Here, the white flag is flying. Just 2.238 miles to go for this eighth round of the Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America.
Brandon Godovic trying to find his second victory of the season. He won at VIR in race number two there. Can he add a second victory in 2020, and what's our championship going to look like at the end of this race? Are Stephen Agakani and Jacob Edson going to continue to close on Madison Snow and make it that much closer heading into the final round at Sebring? The final two rounds at Sebring, I should say.
Yeah, that's right. And I tell you what, a good restart there by Leo Lamelas. He has cemented his lead in the Pro-Am category. He's still ahead of Stephen McAleer. Danny Formal and Andrea Amici both found a way past McKay Snow on that lap. So McKay Snow in the Pro-Am Championship leading car number 63, the car that won yesterday. He's got a pretty handy lead in the championship. It's only 13 points, so it's not that big. And he's fallen now down to the fourth position with his closest rival in the points, Leo Lamelas, out in front for US Racetronics.
Two corners to go. Brandon Godovic making up for yesterday, a race they would like to forget, and forget he has from the drop of the green, starting outside the front row. Brandon Godovic has been spectacular today. Race number two at WeatherTech Raceway belongs to Brandon Godovic in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North American action. His second win of the season. Agakani second, Jimenez third, then Madison Snow. That is going to close down the championship in the pro category. Leo Lamelas, with that great restart, is going to take the victory in Pro-Am. A good run for him. The 87, Sydney McKee, new to Lamborghini Super Trofeo this season, the rookie being shown, taking the victory. How special is that for Sydney McKee in LB Cup?
Yeah, cool. Really good for Sydney. She's made big strides this season. She's getting quicker and quicker. She's from Birmingham, Alabama. She's not done the full season. She missed a couple of races. That team, they got the strategy exactly right here. They did not make their pit stop until the first full course caution came out. So they stayed on the same lap as everybody else. All the other contenders in LB Cup, they were in as soon as the pit stop window opened, and that ended up costing them a lot of track time and falling a lap off the ultimate lead. So hats off to Sydney McKee, and hats off also to Brandon Godovic.
Okay, timing and scoring just kind of threw me a curveball and switched to Sergio Jimenez up front, and I'm not exactly sure what's gone on with that, but you saw some great racing today. Drama, of course. you always have it in Lamborghini Super Trofeo action. The beautiful countryside here around WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. The championships in three of the four categories will go to the final weekend at Sebring. Doubleheader there at Sebring, and it should be a good one. For Jeremy Shaw and everyone, thanks for staying with us. Thanks for watching Lamborghini Super Trofeo. And remember, the championships, they are still very much alive.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.